All right, let's start. So welcome for this session about Apache Keras in the enterprise. I'm JB. I'm a software architect at Talend, and I'm also a member of the Apache Software Foundation. And today I'm a PMC member or committer on roughly 20 Apache projects, from the integration and application, like Keras, of course. I'm PMC chair of Keras, but also Canal, ActiveMQ, up to the big data. I'm also involved in Beam and Carbon Data and others. So what is Apache Keras? Who already knows Apache Keras there? OK, good. Maybe you saw, for some of you on the website, up to yesterday, actually, the tagline was Apache Keras is an application container. So it means that basically you can deploy any kind of application in Keras. But I removed the name container yesterday. I replaced with application runtime. Because in mind of a lot of people, container equal Docker. It's not the same. When I'm talking about container, it's really to deploy application. It's really light. I mean, if you run Keras from scratch embedding your application, it's something like 20 or 30 megabytes of memory. It's pretty light. And it's also very modular. So it means that when you start Keras, you have a set of modules that you can use in your application, so some kind of feature provided. But you can also extend Keras with additional features that you can install or deployment on. It's very customizable, so it means that you can create your own shell commands and all that stuff. So for instance, for the ones who were present this morning during the Unomi talk from Serge, Serge showed a demo of Unomi running in Keras, where he types some commands and all that stuff. It's actually part of the Keras runtime. You have also different and several packaging. So there are different vision of Keras. You can use Keras as a real, let's say, application runtime, where first you start Keras and then you install application on top of Keras. Or you can use Keras more like a Spring Boot way, where you embed all at build time and you create a standalone application that you can directly start. So it means that using the same code base, you can have immutable distribution or mutable distribution. So immutable, it means like I already package all together, ready to run on Docker, ready to run wherever I want. So the distribution of Keras embed your application. Or you can also use the mutable version, where first you start Keras, empty Keras, a Keras vanilla, and then you install application on top of it. It can be executed on-prem, on cloud, on Docker. It's actually a pure Java application at the end of the day. You also have a lot of additional and bunch features provided by Keras sub-projects. For instance, you need clustering, you need monitoring and alerting. We have sub-projects providing that. And we also have other Apache projects that also provide features for Keras, like Apache CXF, like Apache Camel. So it means that in Keras, you can extend Keras by other projects. And in the enterprise, I'm going to talk about that. Yeah, it's on the way. It's on the way. By official, it depends what you are saying, because we have actually two official Docker hub. We have the Apache one, and we have a Docker hub one. Both are official, but they don't have the same, let's say, vision from end users. So when we talk about the enterprise, and by enterprise, I mean any kind of enterprise, we have different vision, different standpoint in the enterprise, and so different needs. If I'm a developer, what I'm looking for is something like features that I have, like the tooling and an easy way of building and deploying on Keras, and all the tooling to simplify the debugging, the profiling, and all that stuff. That's my developer standpoint. On the other hand, if I am more DevOps, so someone that's going to take my distribution of Keras and deploy somewhere, there are different perspectives, different needs. I need maybe a different packaging of Keras. I need maybe a different way of managing my existing Keras instances. I have to scale. Okay, as we saw this morning during the Unomi talk, we can deploy a lot of Unomi instances, and we can address a large-scale cluster. And also how I can integrate in my ecosystem, depending if I'm on the cloud, depending if I'm on-prem, or Keras can adapt itself to my ecosystem. So this is for the DevOps, okay? And finally, the end users. We do application for end users, for business needs. And Keras is almost on the developer side and the DevOps side. But we also have some features and sub-projects to address the end users. Basically, there are mostly two on the way. There is Decanter that provides business activity monitoring. So it's the way where using business data, I can have some dashboard about the activity of my application. But there are also Vanyard. So Vanyard is basically an API management and API gateway solution based on Keras. So let's drill down in the different needs. So first, a developer. I can, as a developer, I'm going to use Keras to do my business applications. And to do that, I need some prime models. Maybe some of you like Spring, some of them like OSGI, some of them like, I don't know, Blueprint, DS, Spring Boot annotation approach, whatever. Okay? The packaging. Or can I package my applications to be deployed in Keras? Is it a WAR file? Is it a CAR file? Whatever, again. What kind of feature Keras provides to me to simplify the way of writing my applications? I mean, we have to deal with logging. We have to deal with provisioning. I can do it from scratch. Or I can use features provided by Keras. Tooling as well. When I'm a developer, I need to be able to, for instance, debug my running application or automatically update my applications as well. So what kind of tooling I can have? Example and documentation. I'm pretty new to development, and especially on Keras, or I can start with Keras. What's my entry point to start with? And also where I can find some help to guide me in if I have any issue or what kind of perspective I can take to deploy and develop on Keras. So let's talk about the business applications. So at the end of this presentation, I have a slide that I name user stories. It's all kind of applications based on Keras. So this morning we got Unomi. Unomi is one kind of application running in Keras. But we have very different kind of applications. Okay, we can have like backend application. Unomi is a kind of backend and integration system based on Keras. We can also have microservices approach, is what we are doing at Talend. Talend create a runtime based on Keras to integrate application all together. But we can have so front-end application, so web application running in Keras, not a big deal. And all about IoT integration, so retrieving data from somewhere, applying some transformation or canonical format and sending to somewhere else. So any kind of applications can be deployed in Keras. And when I deploy an application, I have first to implement the application itself. And there I have different prime model. So it means that when you start with Keras, maybe some of you know that Keras is based on OSGI. But it doesn't mean that you need to know OSGI to deploy in Keras. You can use Keras exactly as you use Tomcat, so just deploying a web application. You can use Keras as you use in Spring Boot, just putting some annotation and you deploy and you bootstrap. So it means that when you start with Keras, you have a choice. You don't have to be forced to use one prime model. You can use whenever you want. So first you can create regular web application. So package as a WAR file, as you can do in Tomcat, and you just deploy in Keras. Another prime model that supported by Keras is Spring, pure Spring application. And you can also use CDI, OSGI, OSGI with Blueprint, OSGI with SCR. There are different, let's say, prime model that you can use in Keras. And more than that, in the same Keras instance, you can mix these prime models. You can have in the same Keras, you can have one application running on using a web app, another one using OSGI, and another one using CDI. Not a big deal. Okay, so it's a very flexible way of developing application. And when we create our application at the end of the day, we have to package. to deploy in Keras. So here you have different packaging. The first thing, you can deploy directly jar files, regular jar files. So to that, you just deploy using a command, for instance, you say, I'm going to deploy this jar file in Keras. Another thing that you can do is a WAR file, a regular one. Okay, so you just package your web application in a WAR and you deploy in Keras. You can also deploy AGI bundles. So basically, an AGI bundle is a jar file containing some, let's say, instruction and statement, what we name headers, in the manifest that Keras can use. You can also deploy directly a feature, blueprint XML, so you can see there are different ways of deploying. It means that in Keras, you can create your own deployer. You can imagine to create your own archive. In that case, you create the deployer service, and then you can support this kind of archive in Keras. And when I develop, most of the time I need a lot of feature and specification. I have two ways to do that. I can implement and use an existing framework. Let's talk about logging, for instance. In your application, you need to log some message, okay? The first approach is you decide to use one logging framework and you package the framework plus the configuration of your logging framework and you deploy. But it means that if another application deploy in the same application runtime use another logging framework, you may have different, configuration files, location of a log file, and all that stuff. In Keras, all features that you can use in your application are available as a service. So it means that for logging, for instance, the only thing you are doing is just use your logging system. So just use your logging framework. SLF4j, log4j, logbag, whatever. At the end of the day, it will be used by the same logging service in Keras. And it's the same for any Java enterprise applications supported by Keras. For instance, JNDI. When you want to use JNDI, you can directly use the initial context factory as a service. So in Keras, you just deploy your application and you create your initial context factory and out of the box, it will provide an initial context factory for you. Another thing that you can use is JDBC. JDBC, you just define a data source. It's directly supported by Keras. So you just do in Keras JDBC create data source, and then you have a data source service available in your application. You don't have to create by hand. The same for JMS, and the same for JPA. So JPA is more than that. For JPA, the entity manager is also available as a service. So it means that in your application, the only thing you're going to use is the entity manager. Whatever the JPA engine you're going to use behind the hood, Hibernate, OpenJDK, JPA, Eclipse Link, whatever, it's completely hidden for you in your application. The only thing you are going to use is the entity manager. And it's very flexible because thanks to that, I can switch from Hibernate to OpenJPA without changing one line of my code. So that's very interesting. The same for JTA, so about the transaction. Keras by itself embedded transaction manager, so you have different options. JMX, CDI, JAXRS. So JAXRS, you can use CXF. So right now, with CXF, you have to define your CXF bus and endpoint using Blueprint. But you have another option for JAXRS is using RES whiteboard. So you, RES whiteboard use CXF behind the hood, but you use annotation scanner to detect the JAXRS endpoint. So it means that for you, the only thing that you have to define is what specifications should I use in my application, should I need in my application. If I need JPA, then I'm going to use the JPA feature and the JPA feature, service provided by Keras. This is for the specification, but you also have some additional features and tooling provided by Keras. So for instance, in your application, you need a scheduler to execute periodically some action or call some service or execute commands, whatever. In that case, you have a scheduler service available directly in Keras. It doesn't mean that it's available by default when you start Keras, but you can just install the feature that provides the scheduler service. You also have instances. So instances is a concept in Keras where you can create new Keras instances into a running Keras instance. It looks mad, but actually it's not, because thanks to that, you can create some kind of checkpoint or testing instances, and you can test the deployment of an application in your new instance without impacting the root one. And then if one is okay, you can merge the change to the root one or clone the existing one extra. So it's actually a very flexible feature. As I said, logging and configuration. So the same configuration is centralized in one place. So any application can use the configuration provided in the etc folder of Caraf. You also have auth deployment. As I said, you can deploy your own applications and archive. You have a shell console. So shell console is a complete shell, Unix shell, but you can extend, create your own commands using completion, extra, so it's very flexible. And we also provide some Maven plugin. And this Maven plugin contains several goals. For instance, you can create a custom distribution of Caraf embedded in your application. It's what we're going to use, for instance, with Docker. So you create a standalone application embedding Caraf and your application all together. And so you can deploy directly and create a Docker image. And we also have some goal that allows you to deploy on an existing Caraf instance or connect remotely on remote Caraf instances. In terms of tooling now, so I have my running Caraf instance locally or remote, doesn't matter. And I have to do some debugging on it. So the easy way is just to start Caraf in debug mode. That's pretty easy. And then you can connect your IDE using the remote debugger, and then you can debug whatever it happens. You also have some commands dedicated for a developer, like a bundle diag. Diag allows you to know what's the current state of a bundle, of your application, and get in some details. You can also have auto-deployment. So it's what we name the Artifact Watcher. So you deploy locally on your machine. You deploy a snapshot. Then you build a new version of this snapshot using MVN clean install, for instance. So the snapshot artifact is updated in your local Maven repo. And in that case, automatically, Caraf can detect a new change, a new version of the snapshot, and deploy in the running instance. So it's very, very convenient when you are developing. Shell scripting, you can also create some command aliases or create a complete script in Caraf that allows you to deploy or to execute stuff. That's pretty easy. And more for debugging and when you are running on production, you can also ask for a dump. So most of the time when you request, you have an issue in production. So this, what you're going to ask? First, the log file, okay? And in the log file, you see, okay, I have an exception, but I need an ibdump to understand what's going on. So you're going to request an ibdump. And in the ibdump, you're going to say, oh, yeah, but I need the thread dump as well. As a customer, I'm going to be crazy. If you ask me every time new things, yeah, it sucks. So what we provide in Caraf is a command that creates a big zip file containing log file, environment variable, heap dump, thread dump, whatever you need to have an overview about what's going on in your Caraf instance. Easy to start and support. I mean, it's maybe where Caraf was not so good up to, let's say, 6 or 10 months ago. I think Caraf is a very strong application runtime, but it was not so easy for developers to start with Caraf. So we know that we have to improve again on this front, but we already moved forward. So the first thing is we provide a bunch of examples as part of a Caraf distribution. So it means that I need to create REST services in Caraf. I have an example. I can start from there and I can extend. But we also have a very active community. So it means that you just ask on the mailing list, and most of the time you will have a reply pretty soon. We also have some companies that provide commercial support on Caraf. So thanks to that, you can, if you want to use Caraf more in a production and professional way, then you can request some commercial support. And finally, there is another project that I introduced 2 years ago at ApacheCon. The name is Caraf Boot. So basically, at build time, using some annotations, we can create all the related descriptor we need for Caraf. So basically, in your application, you want to use JPA. You're going to put just add JPA on your class directly. And thanks to that, the Caraf Boot plugin will create all the resources that it needs to be deployed in Caraf. And more than that, this Maven plugin can also directly create the custom distribution, So Keras plus your application, and it also can create the Docker image directly. So at the end of the day, what you are doing as a developer is just define your business classes, focus on your business code, put the annotation required by the Keras Boot plugin, and then we create all of the resources for you. Well, so that's something that's gonna be in donation in Keras in the, I think, before the end of this year, because we move forward already. Yeah.
On this, have you looked at eventually providing a migration path from Spring Boot to Keras Boot?
There are some part where it could work, like entity, like add JPA, all that stuff. Where it's pretty tricky is when you use injection. I mean,
I was more thinking like a document. Yeah,
good idea. No, for now, I know that most of the time, one of the comparison is what's the difference between Spring Boot and Keras. Uh-huh. A lot of people say Spring Boot is a kind of standalone application that I created using annotation, but honestly, what is a Spring Boot application at the end is a Java application. So using Keras, you have exactly the same, but with much more feature and flexibility. But you're right. I mean, maybe documenting some, maybe an example, like I do like this in Spring Boot. This is the same thing using Keras, and be my guest. I mean, pick yours. It's up to you. So yeah, that's a good idea. We can definitely add something like that. There are some part of Keras that support Spring Boot. That's the case of Decanter. We provide a Spring Boot starter for Decanter. But yeah, for the runtime especially, it could be interesting to have a comparison. Yeah. So it was for the developers. But in the enterprise, we have another part of the people, another kind of people, they are the DevOps. So basically, people that take your application and they are responsible of deploying this application on a physical runtime, so on cloud, on-prem, whatever, and monitor and execute. So most of the day, these people are going to be crazy because it depends a lot of the application, it depends a lot of the features. So in Keras, we really put the focus on these kind of people since the beginning of Keras, basically. So the DevOps, they need what? They need a way of package, provision, update the application, deploy on different ecosystem. Integrating with the security layer they may have in the enterprise. Providing a way of scaling, clustering the application in an easy way. A way of deploying artifacts, so application available for all the Keras instances. All these parts are really the core business of the DevOps. So first about packaging and provisioning. So you have two options. You can create a mutable provisioning option. So mutable means it's the first approach we use in Keras. I start Keras from scratch without anything on it, and then I deploy my application like you do in Tomcat. You start Tomcat, you put your WAR file in the web app folder, and it works. So you can do that in Keras. You start Keras from scratch, vanilla, and you deploy your application. Another thing that you can do is an immutable approach. This is more of a Spring Boot approach. So it means that in that case, you use a plugin, you create your application, and you package all together in Keras plus your application. And finally, you can also use a kind of hybrid solution. So it means that you start from your custom distribution of Keras. You start by deploying this distribution, but nothing blocks you to update this distribution on the fly once it's running. So in that case, you have a hybrid solution. Docker, so it's something that we added recently. Colm, as you said, there's a first, there's tooling in which are part of a Keras repo that allows you to very, very easily create a Docker image of both vanilla and official Keras distribution, but also your own distribution. Okay, and there is a pull request in progress to have an official Keras Docker image. But another thing that we added in 4.2.1, Keras 4.2.1, it was the Docker feature. So the Docker feature allows you to control and manage your Docker image and container directly from Keras. So imagine you want to use RabbitMQ in your application. So, and you want to use the Docker image of RabbitMQ. In that case, what you can do is directly from Keras, using the Docker service provided by Keras, you can fetch, so you can pull the RabbitMQ image, you can start the RabbitMQ container, and so imagine the RabbitMQ is running on 222 as a port number, then you can create a proxy in Keras matching the Docker container port number. So it's a very interesting feature when you have to embed different, let's say, Docker container in Keras and completely hide where the Docker container is running. So it's a new feature we added recently. Security, so Keras fully support JAS, so Java Authentication and Authorization Services. You have a complete RBAC system, so role-based access control. So it means that each command, each embed in Keras, you can control who is going to do that. We also have support for Apache Syncope. So we have some JAS login modules that allows you to interact with LDAP, with JDBC, with Syncope, or with any kind of custom login module you can create. So that's very convenient when you want to integrate Keras in your existing security layer. Using, again, Syncomp or others. And this is the first sub-product of Keras. The name is Keras Cave. Cave, there are three, let's say, main features provided by Cave. The first feature is basically an artifact repository. So it's a kind of Maven repository. So it's a small nexus, if you want. It means that you can deploy your artifacts directly in Cave. Cave is itself deployed in Keras. It's running in Keras. But we also add all what we name the bundle repository feature specification support. But you also have additional interesting feature that you can have in Cave. First, Cave can also serve as a Docker hub. So you can store your Docker image directly in Cave. So if you have a cluster of Keras instances, all Keras instances can access the same Cave server. They can retrieve artifacts, configuration, Docker image, whatever they want. So that's very convenient. We also have a Keras feature, gateway feature. So it means that in Keras, when you deploy an application is packaged as a set of features. So you describe your application, like this is artifact 1, 2, 3, this configuration, extra, extra. So you describe your application like this. Then you can have, and the descriptor is an XML file, okay? Then you can have, for instance, Unomie feature XML, and you may have CXF feature XML, and you may have Caramel feature XML, all spread on different repository. And at the end of the day, for your DevOps, he maybe wants to use feature install Unomie and feature install Caramel. He doesn't care where the feature XML is actually located. In that case, Cave can completely act as a gateway to the actual feature XML. So the only thing you're going to add in your Keras instance is the Cave feature XML. And behind the hood, it will go to the actual other feature XML to retrieve the feature and install it for you. So this is the kind of architecture you can use with a Cave. So this is a Keras instances where you deploy Cave. Then you can have other Keras instances that you can manage. So you can deploy your application in a form of Keras using the Cave deployer feature. So you have some commands like a Cave colon deploy or install application. Then you can also use Keras feature gateway, or you can use Keras instances with this repository. So it's very, very flexible. Another thing that you can do is more than a farm of Keras instances, you want to use a cluster of Keras instances. What's the difference? Let's say I have 10 Keras instances running. Then if I use the Keras Cave deployer, I have to deploy my application on the 10 instances, one by one. So I go on the first instance, I deploy my application. On the second one, the same, extra, extra. What I would like to do is I deploy on one instance and automatically it spread on the others. So I deploy or I change the configuration on one and all is synced together and all is spread together. So it's the purpose of Karaf Cela. So Cela is a cluster manager for Karaf instances. So it's something you install in Karaf and then any application can be deployed on any node and the deployment will be spread to the other nodes. It also implements some additional feature like a cluster HTTP load balancing. So it means that if you deploy a web application using Cela, you can access one other instance acting as a load balancer to the actual HTTP location. So this is something that is described by the Cela architecture. So imagine I have two Karaf instances, each one with Cela deploy. Then I can deploy something on one, like here. Then the cluster service update my distributed map. So the distributed map is the set of applications deployed on the cluster. And then the event is spread to the other nodes. And so the other nodes also update themselves to install the application or the configuration or whatever. As a DevOps, so I have my cluster or my farm of Karaf instances. I have to manage this instance by checking what's going on in the instance, stopping or checking what's the current status, the metrics, and whatever. So for that, in Karaf, by default, we have an SSH server embedded. So it means that using just SSH, you can log on any Karaf instance and do some action. You can also use some JMX and MBIM server. So any Karaf instance provide a lot of service available through JMX. You can do remote debugging and you also have web console. So all this action can be done remote or local, whatever. But we also can retrieve metrics. The issue is those metrics are static. It's a kind of snapshot of the current state when you check the metrics. So if we want to have more details about what's going on 2 hours ago on this Karaf instance, in that case, you can add Decanter. So Karaf Decanter is another sub-project, probably one of the most stupid projects I did in Karaf today, because it's very, simple. But today, we have more and more users that use that use Karaf just to get Decanter. So they don't use Karaf for deploying the application, and they use Karaf as a Decanter container. So Decanter is something that allows you to retrieve data, to harvest data, send to a kind of dispatcher, and store this data somewhere else. Okay? So it's used for pure activity data collection, like a metrics, log message, or whatever. It's also used for auditing, whatever is going on your application. Of course, alerting. So if you have one metric of matching this pattern or the log file match this pattern, then you do an alert. But it's also used for BAM, so business activity monitoring. So basically, it's pretty simple. You have some collectors that collect data. This data is sent to the dispatcher. The dispatcher applies some kind of rule-based, it's not really rule-based, but compared to Unomi. But they do some check on the existing data. And then if the check, if the predicate is not good, then it sends an alert or it stores the data to an appender. So basically, I can retrieve data from somewhere and I can send data to somewhere else. Currently, this is the collector you can use. So you can collect using Camel, DropWizard, even admin, file, log, log4j socket, JDBC, JMS, MQTT, and Kafka. JMX, system, REST, and socket. So it means that you can retrieve data from Karaf itself, but also from other system outside of Karaf. Then you send to the dispatcher, and on the other end, you can also use appenders like a Camel, Cassandra, DropWizard, Elasticsearch, FileLog, JDBC, JMS, MQTT, Kafka, and Redis again, MongoDB, OrientDB, REST, and socket. So it means that I can get my log message from Karaf, send into the dispatcher, and the dispatcher store the log message in Elasticsearch, for instance. And, yeah?
Do you have email separate from Camel?
So in terms of alerting, you can use email, which directly use a pure Java mail appender. But you can also use Camel to send an email, whatever you want. So this is the three, let's say the two alerters we have by default, log and email. But you can also use Camel. Or actually, an alerter is simply an appender with a special topic. So you can use any kind of appenders as an alerter. So you can store, for instance, the alert in a separate Elasticsearch instance if you want. And it allows you to do stuff like this. So this is a production screenshot that I took from a large system. So this is Grafana. So what we are doing in this production, we retrieve data from the Caraf log file, from the Caraf JMX layer. We also retrieve a log from JBoss. I mean, we're from different system. We send all in Elasticsearch. And then we use Grafana to create what kind of dashboard. So here you can see the number of memory, the alert, so is the application running in Caraf is okay or not okay, extra, extra. It's also cloud ready now. Thanks to the Docker, it's pretty easy to deploy on the cloud. So you can deploy your Caraf application on Amazon. Remind me at the end of this talk to talk about OpenHub. They are using a large cluster of Caraf instances on Amazon. So it's pretty easy. Seller that I introduced just before, so Caraf Seller, the cluster solution for Caraf, support directly Amazon and any cloud provider. You have a JCloud, Apache JCloud support directly in Caraf. So it means that you can use any blob store directly as a service in Caraf, so that's very interesting. So it means that today we have all the tooling allowing you to deploy your Caraf application, so basically your application running in Caraf on the cloud. For the cloud management, it's basically the same. You can use Decanter to harvest the data from a cloud system. It's pretty easy. It's what we are doing for OpenHub. So OpenHub, they have actually two Decanter instance, one local when they do the test, and one running on the Amazon cluster, and they can retrieve all the data. And now it's the last kind of users we can address using Caraf. So the first one was the developers, the second one was the DevOps, and now the third kind of users is basically the business end users. So today is not, clearly is not the purpose of Caraf to address the end users. It's more your application that should address the end users. But in Caraf, we are thinking that there are some tuning that makes sense from a general standpoint. Whatever the application you're going to deploy in Caraf, there are some, let's say, regular expected feature that you should provide to your end users. And the first one is Decanter, but this time as a BAM. So more than technical metrics, more than technical details about what's going on, which is pretty important for you, but more than that, you can also provide additional business metrics, like the number of orders you ship using UPS or the number of orders you ship using Royal Mail, whatever. So this is the kind of business activity monitoring you can do using Decanter, out of the box. The alerting also is very flexible. You can create any kind of predicate. So it means that directly with Decanter, you can implement some business alert, like a fraud detection or stuff like that. Okay. And another thing that you can do is most of the time in your enterprise, you have a bunch of existing services. Some deploy as a web application, some deploy using REST, some deploy using GraphQL, some deploy. I mean, we have a bunch of services existing in the ecosystem. So we created and we started a new sub-project of Caraf. The name is Vanyard. Vanyard is really an API management and gateway platform for Caraf. So it's the first gateway, the API gateway, that supports both REST and GraphQL from scratch. If you take a look on AppiGi, on Kong, on any kind of other API solution, they just provide REST API. In Vanyard, we are doing more than that. First, we support both REST and GraphQL. Plus, we also support any kind of endpoints. So the target endpoints behind the gateway is not only REST. It could be a JMS queue, it could be a Kafka topic, whatever. So in Vanyard, you have the registry. The registry basically stores the resources, the schema, and the policies. And you also have the policies, so about all security and QoS. And finally, we also have discovery plugin. So the discovery plugin is a way to automatically populate your registry using the existing service you have on your ecosystem. So in terms of architecture, you have the registry there. So this registry can be created by hand. You as a hand user, you create the documentation, you say, okay, this is a REST API, and this is the resources, this is the verb of these resources, and this is the documentation, and I can do some mocking, and I can create some kind of QoS, like this application can use this resource or this API only 2 times per minute, or whatever. So this is stored in the registry. This registry also can be used with and populated with a discovery plugin. So for instance, the discovery plugin can scan for Swagger, OpenAPI, and populate the registry for you. And then from the registry, you can say, okay, this API I would like to expose in the gateway. And so in the gateway, behind the hood, we're gonna use Camel. So we expose a REST or GraphQL API, depending on what you define in the registry. And when a client actually access to this resource, then behind the hood, they're going to use Camel to target the bridging endpoint. And when you have a gateway, of course, it's very important to have some monitoring about the activity of your gateway. And again, as we already have Decanter, we just delegate the monitoring to Decanter. So it means that the gateway will push some data to Kafka Decanter. Another use case that you can do is also to use Decanter as a big data analytics. So we have a lot of data retrieved by the collector, sent to the appender. And one kind of appender could be Kafka. So it means that you can append data to Kafka. And then you can use any kind of, streaming or execution engine like a Beam or Spark or whatever to do some kind of analytics, CEP, or whatever on your data collected by Decanter. So that's the three kind of people we can help in the enterprise thanks to Kafka: the developers, the DevOps, and the end users. Welcome to Kafka. If you have any ideas or if you want to contribute or if you find some interesting ideas or feature missing in Kafka, please let us know. We just updated the website. We did an important job on trying to promote a better website, and it was a huge step forward. We also have decided to have a periodical release cycle. So we do a release of Kafka runtime or the sub-project every 3 months. So it means next week, for instance, we will have new releases of Kafka Sela. The next Kafka runtime release will be in December, beginning of December. So it's something that now we think that it's better for our users to have a regular pace in the release cycle. And this is the user stories. So this is some other Apache projects or companies that use Kafka. So, you know me, it's one of the talk of this morning. You have Jaya, Talon, of course, Red Hat, UPIC, OpenNAB. So just to let you know that today at OpenNAB, they are using 70,000 instances of Kafka in the cloud. So that's a huge, I think that the biggest deployment of Kafka right now. OpenDelight, Sonatype, so Nexus is also running on Kafka. So you can see here, very different business domain. I mean, OpenDelight is what we name an SDN, Software Design Network. Talent is more macro and let's say services platform. You know me as for one the one who went to the talk this morning is a customer data platform. So it's a completely different purpose, different use cases, but all these use cases are running in Keras. This is the website. This is the different GitHub mirrors, the mailing list. So if you want to contribute, please go ahead. If you have any question, please let me know. Yeah, cool.
Seller supports sticky sessions.
Yes. So in Seller, if you want to use sticky session and session replication, you have to use a servlet listener. Because we intercept the request to get the session, and then the session is on the Hazelcast because Seller uses Hazelcast. So basically, we use the Hazelcast servlet listener. So that's something that, unfortunately, I don't have any option to do differently, because it means that your application needs to use the listener, the servlet listener. So it's a kind of intrusive change that we have to do. But it's the only way, unfortunately. Yes, the web container, so basically JT. In that case, if you add a new key or if you change the key of a revocation or whatever, in that case, Keras is monitoring the state of a key store and then it restarts the Pax web container. Yeah, correct. Right, but in Tomcat, I think it's something that you have to do by hand using JMX. In Keras, it's done automatically for you. I mean, we have a file installed scanner, and when the key store is changed, then automatically the service is restarted. Yeah. Right. Is something that we can also improve in Pax. This is not directly in Keras, in Pax web, but it's basically the same. Yeah. Any other question? Yeah.
There's a Pax web color chat actually.
Yeah.
You could use that.
Today there are three actually there are three implementation of Pax web. So Undertow. JT and Tomcat. Today, for Pax Web Tomcat, it doesn't use all the stack provided by Tomcat. It almost uses the connector and the runner. So right now, I don't think we are using the SSL layer and all that stuff provided by Tomcat. So, but why not? I mean, it's something that we can extend. Yeah. For security, there are another thing we integrated is a key clock recently. So there's also a new plug for key clock directly in Keras for Jazz and others. So yeah, it's yeah.
Yeah, I had a question about the dump create shell command.
Mm-hmm.
That's available since which version of
Keras? Since the beginning. Mm-hmm. Since the beginning, actually is something that you can extend. So for instance, I have some customers that, for instance, when they create a dump, they want to retrieve all the a set of data coming from the database they use for business. So basically, the dump command, looking for, they are using the dump whiteboard pattern. So it means they are looking for a dump service. And so any new dump service you can create with your own bundle can be added into the dump create command. So for instance, we have some customer, but it's the case for OpenApp, I think. They are dumping part of the database in the dump just to investigate and know the current configuration of the users. Pretty easy. Other question there? Okay, thank you. And have a good lunch.